We've been going through a sermon series called The Answer for Life, and we've been going through the book of Galatians, talking about how the gospel, Jesus Christ himself, the gospel being the good news about Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ himself is the answer for life. And last week, we talked about this idea of living like billionaires. And if you weren't here last week, let me just give a brief description of what that means. Living like a billionaire basically is the idea of how so many of us, if we were told to live like a billionaire today without receiving any of the money, we would not be able to live like billionaires. If someone told us that we should try our best to live like a billionaire today, we would not be able to because we just don't have the funds to be able to do that. But if a person told you to live like a billionaire and they actually gave you $1 billion, then whether or not we're able to live like a billionaire is actually just up to our own minds, whether we're able to or not, whether we feel like we're able to or not. But in actuality, you are living as a billionaire because you do have $1 billion. In a similar way, for Christians, we have the greatest gift through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with God. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We have life. We have his peace and his joy. We have everything that we need in this life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when God tells us to live as a Christian, it should not be something that we struggle with, but something that comes about automatically. And so the idea of living like a billionaire is something that reminds us that because we have everything in Christ, living as Christians should be something that comes automatically. Now, it's not always easy. I know that. And I know that we still struggle to live as Christians. But the reason for that struggle is not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're a bad Christian. It's not because you don't have enough faith. The reason why we have a difficult time living as Christians is because it's so often that we turn our eyes away from Jesus Christ and we look to other things in this world. We look to the things that are created rather than looking to the Creator to be our fulfillment. Now, every single week I'm here and I want to remind you that we are spiritual billionaires. But what if someone tries to come and steal away your billions? And they steal your billions away and they say, I want you to try to earn your billions again. I want you to try to earn all that back again and so that you could live like a billionaire. In a similar way, what if someone comes to you and begins to teach you or tries to convince you of another false gospel, and they say to you, you need to earn your life with Jesus? What would you do? Well, through our passage today, what we're going to find is the answer to that question. What would we do if someone comes and tries to steal away the gospel from you, and they try to convince you to earn your life as a Christian now? What would you do? Today's title is, again, Living Like Billionaires, but we're going to look at part two of that. And I want to ask Jenny to come up to the front now to read our passage today.
The reading of God's word comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 15. If you're looking at the blue Bible from outside, we are looking at page 975. Again, we will be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 15. This is the reading of God's word. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Amen. This was the reading of God's word.
This past week, I met a man on the street. He saw me, and then he kind of said something to me as I was passing him by. And I wasn't sure if he was talking to me or not, so I turned around and I looked at him. And he was this Indian man with a turban on his head. And he said, "You look like a lucky man." I don't know if you've encountered a person like this before or not. He said, "You look like a lucky man." And he went on to tell me that he was an astrologer and that he has power to be able to see that I was lucky. And he said that I needed to follow some steps in order to make sure that I would be lucky for the next couple months. And he told me that if I didn't do these things, then I would lose my luck. And he wanted to show me, he wanted to prove to me that he had power to know these things. And so I told him, "Look, if I give you a little bit of time to just explain your thing to me, will you give me a little bit of time after to explain my thing to you?" And he said, "Okay." He went on to perform his power. And what he did was a magic trick, basically. I've seen a lot of magic tricks and a lot of magic shows on YouTube. And so when he did it in front of me, I knew what was happening. But then as he did that, and after he did all that, he said, "Make sure you do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that and you'll be lucky." And then he opened up his little booklet and said, "Look at all these poor children. If you give a little bit of money, I'll be able to give the money to these poor children." And he said, "Look, I've done a good thing for you. Now it's your turn to do something good for these children." And I said, "I knew you were going to ask for money." And he said, no, it's not for me. It's for these children." And then I said, "All right, let's talk." Or he was already talking to me, but I said, "All right, now it's my turn." And I said, "Look, God exists and God created all of us." And he said, "Yes, God created all of us, yes." And I said, "There's only one God." And he said, "Yes, there's one God." And then I said, "And we sinned and we are evil." And he said, no, you are lucky. And I said, "Do you believe that you have sin?" And he said, no, I'm a good person. And so I tried to talk to him, and then he said, "Sir, I must go now. I must go." And I said, "Look, I wanted to talk to you about Jesus." And he said, "I must go now. I must go." I said, "Jesus, he came because God loved us, and he died for your sins." And he said, "I must go." And he left. You know, the funny thing was, after that encounter, I was like, that guy, he was really good at magic. That's the first thought I had. And then the second thought I had was, I'm going to do the exact opposite of what he told me to do just to spite him. That's what I started thinking. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, that magic trick was too good. And then I started thinking, oh man, I keep thinking about how he did the trick, and I keep thinking about the things that he told me to do and what he told me not to do. And I kept thinking, I'm going to do the opposite of what he told me to do. And I kept thinking about it. And I had to actually take a moment to pray and say, God, this guy is teaching me a false gospel, telling me that I need to do certain things in order to be lucky and to be blessed. And for some reason, this idea just keeps coming back to me. Like one of the things he told me was to don't cut your fingernails. And he said, don't cut your fingernails on a certain day. And the next day I said, I'm going to cut my fingernails. To go against what he said. But everything that he told me now all of a sudden was directing my decisions. You know, I had to take the time. I'm a pastor, and that guy is a hooligan, right? That guy is going around tricking people, and I can't imagine how many people that he tricked, and especially talking about luck and everything. I'm sure many unbelievers here in Taiwan will hear something like that, and they'll give a ton of money to this person. This guy's going around tricking people, but in a similar way, I struggled. And I had to take a bit of time to actually go before God and pray and remind myself of what the gospel actually is. That it's not by what I do that I'm saved. It's not by what I do that I'm blessed. It's only by what Jesus Christ has done for me. And so in a similar way, where I had to guard my heart to make sure that I'm holding on to the gospel, what Paul tells us today is that there are many dangers that are out there that will speak to you so that you might begin to have little thoughts that go against the gospel. And so the main idea for today is this. Because of those dangers, we need to guard the truth. The truth about your freedom in Christ. And so we're going to go through 3 points. Number one, dangers to your freedom. Number two, guarding the truth in Christ. And number three, the way to guard. Okay, so let's talk about the dangers to your freedom. Again, we need to guard the truth, right? And the truth is about our freedom that we have in Christ. But let's talk about the dangers first. So in verse 7, in the very first verse that we looked at, it says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You are doing well in following the gospel. You are doing well in understanding what the truth is. So who brought these dangers against you? Now, as we go through the dangers, I want you to know that sometimes the dangers are from within. Sometimes the dangers are from without. Sometimes the dangers are from God himself. Okay, but there are all these different kinds of dangers that we will face that leads us to having a wrong understanding of the gospel. So the first comes from verse 8. This persuasion of understanding being a Christian from the law and not from Christ. Okay, we've been talking about this through the past sermons. This persuasion that you are saved by your circumcision, this persuasion that you are saved by your works is not from the Lord who calls you. Okay, so the danger is that you're listening to something that's not from the Lord. Second danger. In verse 9, it says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay, if you don't know what that is, it's just like the yeast that you use for bread and it makes the bread rise. You just use a little bit of yeast, a little leaven, and then you mix it together and it'll spread throughout the whole dough so that the dough begins to rise. The idea here is that it only starts with a little lie. Just a little lie, and that lie will begin to spread in your heart and in your mind. That's all it takes. It doesn't require someone to be so convincing. It just requires just a little bit. Just like how Satan came to Eve and just asked the question, did God really say that you couldn't eat from any tree? Did God really say that? And he made it into a question. And so it's just a little thing, and it could spread. You know, there are so many teachers out there So many people that want to convince you, and they'll start with a little lie. I fall into this all the time. I watch YouTube videos, YouTube shorts. I don't know if you guys watch TikTok videos, if you guys watch some Facebook videos, or if you look at certain articles that are online, and they all tell you, they define for you what is beautiful, what is true, what is wise. They teach you all these things, and you look at it, and you watch it, and you begin to watch it, and you think, that's not for me. But it starts with that little lie, and it begins to spread so that when you keep watching it, after a period of time, you say, yeah, I know this thing. Yeah, that is beautiful. Yeah, that is true. That is wise. Just starts with a little bit, and it begins to spread. Another danger, in verse 10, it says, the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. If you begin to see that there's that lie spreading in your mind, and you get to a point where you start telling other people what is beautiful, what is wise, what is true, based on what you've been learning from the internet, from other people, from your family, from your culture. And you begin to start talking about these things. And you say, this is the way that you will experience life for what life is supposed to be. This is the way that you are going to be happy. This is the way that you're going to be healthy and strong, and you're going to have a good family. And you begin to listen to all the things that everyone is saying. Now, let me just say clearly that there are some things that they do say is good. But that's what makes it so tricky. Because some of the things that they say is good, it's mixed with some of the things that are bad. And when you begin to spread that, it says here that you will face the ultimate penalty. Those that spread lies, like that man that told me how I can be lucky, that man will bear the ultimate penalty that comes from the Lord. And I don't want to package that in a way where I could sound a little bit nicer. But that man that is going around spreading lies is going to face that ultimate penalty. Another danger, verse 11. Paul says in verse 11 that if he were to go on preaching circumcision, if he was actually preaching circumcision, the way to become a better Christian, the way that other people are saying to be a better Christian, if Paul was actually saying that, then why is he still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed, he says. If you begin to believe in those lies and you begin to preach those lies, then what ends up happening is that you have no more witness. You are not able to talk about Jesus Christ. In fact, you won't talk about Jesus Christ as the answer. You'll talk about everything else as the answer, and you will not offend anyone. You will not offend. Why would the gospel be offensive? Because the gospel says that if you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, then you're telling them that you are a sinner and you have a need for someone to help you. And not everyone is going to like that. Not everyone likes to hear, actually everyone doesn't like to hear that they are a sinner. And so when you go and share with someone something else other than Jesus Christ, you're in danger of no longer being a witness. Next one, verse 12. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. So a danger is that you might need to emasculate yourself. No, this is a joke. Okay. Paul is in a situation where it sounds like he's frustrated. It sounds like he's like, I wish those people would just go and emasculate themselves. And in a way, it is kind of to that degree. And it's been, and let me just say, the original Greek for this word emasculate is not exactly that word. Okay, the original Greek, just to make this a little bit more clear, is this idea of cutting off, to cut yourself. That's the idea. And so, but for a long time in church history, it's been interpreted as emasculate themselves. And so we can look at it that way, and that is a good translation. But at the same time, one other way that we can understand this is to say, Paul is saying, I wish those people would just cut themselves off from the community that we're in. I wish those people would just be gone from us. Because they continue to spread these lies. And so I just wanted to explain that verse. Some person told me that they wish that they could be here to do the public reading of scripture of this passage because they just wanted to read that verse. Anyways. So I'm gonna switch back, number five. I'm going to take away the emasculate themselves, and I'm going to switch it to the fifth danger. The fifth danger is that even after you experience the freedom in Christ, it's possible that there's a way to use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And so there will be a danger of facing temptation as well. We're going to dive more into this particular topic next week. So make sure to, if you're curious about this one, about falling into temptation after we've experienced the freedom, we're going to talk about that more next week. And the last danger is that we might end up destroying one another. In verse 15 at the end, it says, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Now, all of these dangers, as we think about all of these dangers, these dangers are there, and they come in a way where they will take away your freedom, actually. It's like a person taking away your billions of dollars and saying, now you have to earn it back. Now you have to make sure that you earn your billionaire life. And so there are all these dangers that come, and it's just so dangerous, especially that guy. That guy, he told me that I would receive luck if I would just do what he said. And I was trying to go against what he was saying, but it just kept coming back into my mind. And that little thing, if I didn't guard my heart, if I didn't turn to the Lord, that thing would continue to spread in my heart, in my mind. But you know, I mean, for a lot of us, we might think like, Pastor, why are you struggling with that? That's such an obvious trick. Why would you struggle with that? Some of you might say that. But there are so many other lies that exist in this world that will grow in our hearts, that will grow in our minds, that causes us to forget the gospel, that causes us to forget that we are spiritual billionaires. Just the way that some people, they lie to you and they talk about how you can have a better life. For example, you just need to give all to your work. Study hard, work hard, be diligent. Make sure you give it your all. For some people, they'll even say, even to the point of neglecting your family, even to the point of neglecting your spiritual family, neglect church, neglect community groups, neglect it. Because work is so important, because your life is so important, your personal life is so important, that you just need to make sure that you dedicate yourself to these things, and you know what will happen? You'll be guaranteed a better life. Sometimes we don't even need to hear these lies from other people. These lies are within us. We tell ourselves these lies. They've already grown to be something that's more in our minds and in our hearts, and we believe it. Now, that was just one example, and there are many, many other examples. But the fact is that all these dangers exist. These dangers exist that will take away the gospel from us. So we need to guard our freedom. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard the truth about the gospel. And so the second point is we need to be guarding the truth. But we want to guard the truth in Christ. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, as we look back at the beginning again, it says, you're running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You were running well. You were doing a good job in guarding the truth. So who took you away from that? I want you, what Paul is saying is, I want you to go back to running well again. I want you to go back to guarding the truth. I want you to go back to making sure that you have the gospel in your heart and not anything else. Now, as we hear that question or that idea, you need to guard your hearts. You need to guard the truth. A question comes up. Is guarding the truth another rule that we have to follow? Right? The what Paul has been arguing all throughout the book of Galatians is that you are free from the law. You don't need to keep seeing the law as something that's going to save you. Jesus Christ has saved you. And now today you hear me saying, and so in order for you to make sure that you're saved, in order for you to make sure that you're going to do well, is by guarding the truth. Now, is guarding the truth another law that we need to follow? Well, the thing is that it's so easy in Christianity to hear any sermon that's preached and to say, now I need to do that in order to make sure that I'm a good Christian. Now I need to do that in order to make sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm saved right now. I doubt because I still fall into sin, but I hear the pastor preaching and I need to just make sure that I do what the pastor says in order to make sure that I'm saved. I need to make sure that I just go to church every Sunday and that'll help me to feel like I'm saved. And so, and some pastors, when they preach in this way as well. They preach saying that you must do this. You must do that in order to make sure that you're holding on to the truth, that you have the gospel. You make sure you do this. Fight against those people that tell lies. And they tell you all these things. And when we hear it, it sounds like I have a list of things to do as a Christian. And if I don't do it well enough, then I'm not a good Christian. Even when we read the Bible, we read all these passages that tell us, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And yes, they're in there. But as we read it, do we understand it as something that I need to do in order for me to be a good Christian, in order for me to be saved? Otherwise, I'm going to continue to doubt my faith. Is that how we understand all the commands in Scripture? You see, there are so many Christians in this world. So many Christians that fall into this trap, that fall into this lie that I need to do something to be saved and I need to do something to make sure that God is still happy with me. This is happening around the world in so many different churches, so many different people that are sitting in church pews and in church chairs or wherever they are. And they're listening to sermons and they fall into this danger, this trap, and they lose the gospel. But what does Paul say? What does the Bible say here in Galatians 5 verse 10? It says, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view. And the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. What is Paul saying here? You know, he doesn't say, I have confidence in you that you will take no other view. I have confidence that you're going to do a good job to start running well again. That's not what Paul says. You know, there are these three words that appear so often in Scripture, but we just say it so often that we've forgotten the meaning of it. What are those three words? In the Lord. Paul says, I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins already. And he lived a perfect life for you, so you don't have to perform and to show that you are a good person before God, because Jesus Christ lived that perfect life for you already. I have confidence in the Lord. I have confidence in what we're declaring in the gospel, that Jesus Christ has already accomplished everything for you, so you don't have to. Your life is not based on, your life with the Lord is not based on how faithful you can be. Your life with Christ is not based on how good of a Christian you are. Your life is based on Jesus Christ and everything that he's done for you. He says, I have confidence in the Lord. Looking back to the cross and when Jesus Christ was on this earth, I have confidence that he lived a perfect life for you and he died for your sinful life. I believe that's already happened. And also that you will take no other view because the Lord is working in you. The Holy Spirit was sent to you by our God, by our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has been sent to you. Every believer in Jesus Christ already has the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is working in our lives so that we would be reminded about the truth. So that whenever we see the dangers come our way, God surrounds us with people, with his word, with his truth, maybe even a YouTube video to remind us, you are not my child because you've done anything great. You are my child because of Jesus Christ and everything that he's done. It's not based on how you sinned last night. It's not based on how you've been living a terrible life. You are my child, and I want to keep reminding you that you are my child because of everything that Jesus Christ has done. And so the Holy Spirit is working in your life to continue to send you these reminders today so that we would take no other view. And lastly, he has confidence in the Lord that the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. So Paul is saying, look, I also have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ that in the future, even though this person has confused me, even though there are these lies that make me turn away from the gospel, but I trust that Jesus Christ will come back one day, our Lord Jesus Christ who is alive, he will come back one day and he will make all things right. There will be a final judgment. And the one that's spreading lies will bear the penalty. And so I want us to understand this clearly. The life that we have with Jesus Christ is not based on anything that we do. It's based on what Jesus Christ has done, what he is doing today, and what he will do in the future. Everything is based on Jesus Christ and what he did, is doing, and will do. He will accomplish all. And what does it mean for us to guard the truth? Well, what we're saying is this. Jesus Christ is doing everything, but he will do it through us. You see, it's not because we're so great and we're going to do it perfectly. It's not about us. Jesus Christ will do it, but he will do it through us. There will be times that we'll fail. There will be times that we will forget. But Jesus Christ, we just need to trust that Jesus is continually working in our lives, in our church, through one another. Jesus Christ is continually working through us to guard the truth. So then, if that is true, what does that look like? What is the way to guard? How do we guard as Jesus Christ is guarding the truth through us? How do we do that? In Galatians 5, verse 13, it says, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. First of all, it says you are called to freedom. This is something that we want to remember. That because of Jesus Christ, we were called to freedom. Now, how do we do that? How do we remember the freedom that we have? Well, The way that we want to do that is we want to remind each other of the gospel. At church every Sunday, I'm going to be talking about what Jesus Christ has done for us. But even in your own hearts, when you're on your own throughout the week, you need to keep reminding yourself. You need to tell yourself, it's not by my obedience, nor by my disobedience that I am saved or cast away. Nothing I do will save me, and nothing that I do will make me unsaved. I am saved by God's grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ, who made me a child of God, a spiritual billionaire. Repeat this to yourself. Tell this to yourself. When you wake up in the morning, tell yourself this. When you go to sleep at night, tell yourself this. I am not saved, and I'm not going to be cast away based on what I've done, based on what I do. I am already a spiritual billionaire only because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. The next thing, and the last thing. It says in verse 13 and 14, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." As Jesus Christ works through me, and not just me, I'm meaning each of you, as Jesus Christ works through each of us, what he causes us to do is to serve one another, is to love one another by serving one another, is to love one another, simply. How do we do that? Well, you know, there's a lot of struggles that we face in terms of serving one another, in terms of loving one another. But again, that's because we're not looking to Christ in each of those situations. If we look to Jesus Christ and see what he did for us, then each of these things that are on the screen here become that much easier. The way that we want to serve one another and love one another is by forgiving others. Being thoughtful and mindful of others, pointing out sins for others, speaking truth for others, helping others, and patiently speaking with others. You know, I said that if we look to Jesus Christ, then it'll become easier. When we think about this idea of how Jesus served us, the first example that comes to my mind is Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Right, so Jesus washes his disciples' feet and he tells them, you know, I want you to love one another. I want you to take care of one another. But then as I think about the church, I think about, you know, are we forgiving one another? Are we helping each other? Are we getting to know each other and thinking about others' needs? Are we doing that? Well, a lot of times what is in my heart and what I hear from many of you is, oh, but you know that person is so whatever. You know that person is just so annoying. That person is so hard to forgive. You know what they did to me? And we hear different, we have different thoughts in our hearts and in our minds that say, ah, just if you think, Pastor, if you just know my situation, then you would know how hard it is, right? And we have all these complaints and all these things that we talk about. Now, remember I said, look to Jesus. Imagine Jesus as he's washing his disciples' feet. Oh, Peter, why didn't you wash your feet earlier? It's so smelly right now. I mean, do we imagine Jesus doing that? Ah, John, I told you not to run so much. Stop complaining. Hold still. You have all these cuts on your feet because you're running around on rock. Run on sand. Come on, John. Like, do we imagine Jesus as he's washing his disciples' feet complaining and saying, look how bad you guys are. Look what you're doing. I can't serve you. Oh, fine. The Father told me to serve you. Fine. Gosh, I can't believe going through each of the toes. I can't believe I have to do this for my disciples. Do you imagine Jesus doing this? No. Jesus, with love, he served his people. And he was willing to die for them. That's what he did for us. So as we think about Jesus, we want to serve and love other people. This is the way that we guard the truth. We guard the truth, your freedom in Christ, by loving one another. It says in Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." You are already a spiritual billionaire. Guard that truth. Keep reminding ourselves. If you forget and you believe in a lie, it's okay. Come back to Jesus. He'll bring you back. He's working in your life. Don't resist it. Remind each other. Let's love each other in this way, by forgiving each other and helping each other, growing together. Let's guard the truth. And let's not give a foothold for the lie to come into this church, to come into your hearts. Hold on to the truth that we are saved not by anything that we've done, but only because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And because of what he's done, he's made us into spiritual billionaires. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your love for us, for the grace that you poured out, you are pouring out, and that you will continue to pour out upon us. Thank you for your incredible love that you demonstrated to us. And Lord, help us as well to guard the truth, to hold on to the gospel, to guard the idea that we are spiritual billionaires, and that with everything that we have, that we would show the love that you've given to us to others. I pray that you would do that through us. And when we lose the way, remind us, Lord. And I believe that that's exactly what you're doing in each of our lives. So I pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.